You're listening to Rattigan's Rockcast, a series focused on talking about music from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and even current. Now, here's your host, Tom Rattigan.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to Rattigan's Rockcast. I am, of course, your wonderful host, Tom Rattigan. I really appreciate you for being on, whether that's Spotify, Amazon Music, YouTube, WNYO, wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you. Thank you very much. So for today's video, we are going to be talking about the Beatles' third album, A Hard Day's Night. Now, I mentioned the other two albums. This was their third album. When I listen to this album, it's a 30-minute album, and for 30 minutes, everything is perfect. Nothing is wrong in the world to me when I listen to this album. And it's just... it's that same moment every time when I listen to that album, I'm in a happy place, you know? It's just like, you know, listening to, you know, the voices of, you know, of Paul and John and all that. It was the first album of theirs that had only original material by them, and the only album that dominated with just Lennon and McCartney on it. So, this was actually the first Beatles album I ever bought. The first Beatles album I ever listened to was on a cassette, and that's going to remain nameless at the moment, that name, just because, I want to build it up for when I talk about that album. But anyway, so I was 6 years old, wasn't even seven yet, I was at Barnes & Noble with my family. My sister, my dad let us pick out an album for the day. I think we, you know, got a good grade in school, so they let us pick out an album and all that stuff. I think we all each got an album to pick out. My parents would have us do that sometimes. Like, you know, like, when they would treat us by letting us, you know, like, by, you know, letting us pick out any album we wanted to listen to. So my sister picked out, I do remember this, she picked out the 1950 Cinderella soundtrack. Because, you know, I was a huge fan of the Beatles, so I looked at the catalog of the Beatles, because I was already a huge fan after listening to that one album of theirs. And, you know, I think I was already listening to, like, the radio station that had this Beatles segment called Beatles Brunch, which I mentioned in the last edition. It was, you know, this is what I miss about Barnes & Noble. Barnes & Noble is not like this anymore. Like, it doesn't have as much of a big CD catalog as it once did. Because, you know, CDs are not as, you know, big as they once were. But, you know, I saw each album and, I was looking through a few of the Beatles albums. And there was something about The Hard Day's Night that, like, kind of, you know, stood out to me. And my father talked about that album. He told me that he loved that album. And, it was, I think what really stood out to me was the cover art, you know, of the photos of all five of them, and what really, like, you know, just, you know, in that black and white, I thought that was really cool, and I loved, like, the photo with George, where he just has, like, where it just shows the back of his head, and I remember even saying to my dad, I'm like, why do they have the back of his head? He's like, well, I guess he just took that, yeah, and I'm like, is that even George? Oh, he's like, yeah, that's probably George. I remember that. It's the little things you remember about the albums and all that stuff. But I remember looking at the track list, and I do remember that I knew the song Rock and Roll Music already, because when I saw the list, the song that said I'm Happy Just to Dance With You, I thought, oh, is that that song? And he's like, no, and my dad was saying, no, that's a different song. My dad had to explain a lot to me about the Beatles at the time, because, you know, it was funny, like, you know, listen, you know, when you're young and, you know, when you're 6 years old and, you know, you're obsessed with something, you know, normally kids are obsessed with, like, toys or something like that, or, like, you know, specifically maybe even Star Wars or Harry Potter, which I was actually at that time, too, but, but the thing was, like, you know, not a lot of people were really, like, obsessed when it came to, like, the Beatles and all that stuff, or, like, you know, I was, like, you know, into this stuff at a really young age, like, you know, and I just, like, you know, there was something about me that it was just, like, that made me feel connected to these people who I didn't even know, you know, and, you know, it was very interesting to me. I just, like, there was something about their songs that just made it feel like, you know, that, you know, you know, just made you feel cool, just made you feel, like, at ease, you know, made you feel like nothing's wrong in the world, you know, when you listen to them. And, yeah, that's how I felt when I listened to that album, especially, you know, so, yeah, I mean, the thing, too, that I really got to point out, I believe, with this album is that, you know, I think this is the best album for John Lennon. I think John dominated this album. I think, he's sane lead on 9 of the tracks, when, like, Paul only sang really, like, 3 of the songs, and George only had 1, Ringo didn't even have a song. It was pretty clear at this time that, you know, if there was any leader of the group or anybody that was seen as the leader, it was John. And of course, you know, like I've said, you know, it was always perceived how John and Paul were like the lead singers, and Paul was also that other, you know, creative force at that time too. But, you know, this album just was, I think, the prime of John Lennon. I think this album is just something that, you know, definitely defines his music, defines his thing. And oh yeah, yeah, I sorry about that buzz and all that stuff, hope that doesn't ruin the sound too much, and all that. And oh, there it happens again. And you know, is what it is. We are just going to deal with that at the moment. I found a way to deal with that, so don't worry. I think we're all good. We are all good people. So let's talk about the album now. Let's talk about A Hard Day's Night. So A Hard Day's Night has about 13 tracks on it. So Ringo didn't sing lead on any of them. It was just John, and it was just John and Paul, and I mean, George sang one, but it was really John was the main force of the group, for this one. And so, the songs that he absolutely kills on are A Hard Day's Night, of course, the title track, Tell Me Why, I'll Be Back, and You Can't Do That. The way Paul shined on this album was singing harmony on a lot of John's songs, honestly. Like, If I Fell and I'll Be Back. You know, Paul's Can't Buy Me Love was the hit from the album. The other two songs he sang lead on, of course, are, you know, And I Love Her and, you know, Things We Said Today. You know, like, the thing about, like, yeah, I always thought Paul's songs were underrated. You know, I think the thing, especially what is interesting about a song like And I Love Her, to me, I think, was that it was one of the songs that just the opening guitar riff is just, I think, works pretty well. The do-do-do-do-do, like, the hidden in the low register of that, of those notes. And Paul, it's an interesting story of how Paul talked about how that came about, because Paul was figuring out, was trying to struggle how he was going to do the, you know, work on that solo and all that. So what he decided to do was so George was playing the record, and George was playing the guitar record. George was playing the guitar, and Paul, heard the music of coming out of it, and you know, he was like, "Wait, do that again." And you know, that's how it worked. And the thing that it should be known about George is that he was very open with helping songs, structures and all that stuff, and he was just somebody who would come up with these notes whenever you need it, really, or like whenever you needed a specific, you know, type of, you know, way to, you know, do a song. He always found a way to do it, you know. Like, I mean, I remember hearing the story of Paul talk about when, you know, they were young and they were, you know, trying to find a riff to play That'll Be the Day. George was able to get that, like, right before them. They're like, "How'd you do that?" And that works pretty well. But another thing that to mention on that song is, because even though Ringo doesn't sing, he dominates it with his drumming, and especially his bongo playing on And I Love Her. You know how he plays the bongos on that? It's just very, you know, the way he does that is pretty good. And George's, and of course, George's acoustic guitar. So even though George doesn't sing a lot on this, Ringo doesn't sing at all, they dominate it by being the rhythm section, the backbone of the music, you know. John, like, that's the thing, I feel like John and Paul were the creative forces of the songwriters and singers, when George and Ringo were the musical structure at that point. Not to say that John and Paul weren't talented musicians, they were. They all four shined. That is why, in a sense, they are probably the only group that can really, you know, qualify as four frontmen, you know. They were the four, you know, there was no side person. These guys all were just, you know, personality wise too. They all had everybody, you know, everybody loved, you know, John, Paul, George, and Ringo, you know. They were just like these cool, you know, go lucky young kids, that, you know, just happened to be talented at music. For instance, yeah, like, so I've talked about a few songs that I really love with John, but let me talk a little bit about, like, the harmonies and all that stuff. So Tell Me Why is a great song, and honestly, because John's voice on that is just, like, he's really, like, howling on that, doing really, you know, just, like, I love the scene in the film of Hard Day's Night when they perform that, and I like how they played the live version of it. But the harmonies, again, we see of John and of George and Ringo, of George and Paul. And I kind of always found it funny how, like, Tell Me Why and Ask Me Why were, like, the same kind of, like, you know, Ask Me Why was one thing, and then Tell Me Why we're telling you why. And it's kind of funny, too, how I noticed, I don't know if this was, you know, on purpose, but they're both the sixth track on the album, which is kind of funny in a sense, which could have been which they could have known what they were doing, but it works well. And yeah, George and Paul's harmonies on that are just, you know, like I love, I think it works so well on it too. You know, like the harmonies, how they just, you know, like how they just, like, correlate, and, you know, it works so well. It just, it works incredibly well, honestly. There's no complaints there, you know. You know, it's just, this album is a perfect example of the time when the Beatles were in sync, honing their craft, and the prime of their life. It's my second favorite Beatles album of all time. Now, so one thing now is I do want to get into more of the song structure of, so a few of the songs that I love that I haven't got a chance to mention, really go into, are, of course, Anytime at All. I love that song from John. I Should Have Known Better is a song that I've always thought was great. I mean, I remember, you know, listening to Hard Day's Night, you know, for the first time, and listening to that song, and loving, like, that, you know, that power chord that's just, like, it's so recognizable when you play it. But what I really, like, you know, it was, like, that song was great, and I'm, like, well, what could be better than that? Then you hear the harmonica for, you know, I Should Have Known Better, and it's, like, wow. And then it just gets better after next. If I Fell, a slower ballad, beautiful harmonies between John and Paul. Then George's, I'm happy just to dance with you. That little fast melody beat. And then you got And I Love Her and all that. And, you know, it's funny because we talked a little bit about that already. But And I Love Her, I think, is probably, because there was a Beatles trivia thing I took one time, and somebody asked, like, what Beatles song do you think should have been a number one hit? And I said And I Love Her, because it was not a number one hit. It should have been. It's honestly, I will say it's better than Yesterday. Honestly, that's my opinion. I think it's one of Paul's best love songs that he ever wrote, honestly. Just the structure on it. Like, when I listen to it, I just think of a young Paul McCartney. Like, I'm like, when, you know, like, I mean, listen, Paul's music is great, and, like, Paul even makes great music now, but, like, the thing about it is that Paul's music in that time was just, like, this guy was on top of the world. This young cat knew how to make a song, how to pull the heartstrings of millions, and just make a beautiful song. And of course, okay, they had the hit Can't Buy Me Love, which is great and all that stuff, and I remember listening to it and, like, you know, being like, oh, I know that song, and, you know, I'm loving the guitar riff and all that stuff, and, you know, because it's the main single, it's great and all that stuff, but there are a lot of other songs that I want to talk about that mean more to me on the album. like any time at all, the song after that, I love that. And you know, I'll Cry Instead. However, I feel those songs had a little bit more of a sadder vibe. You know, I think Can't Buy Me Love had a little bit of this happy vibe. And even though Any Time at All and I'll Cry Instead are great songs, there's this very like emotionally sad vibe just when you hear them. And it's just like, you know, the thing about it is, like, over the time as I listened to it more and more, I just realized, wow, John really is the king. I mean, John just can, you know, John's just, honestly, like, you know, it made me realize that, you know, like, John is probably, like, my favorite Beatle of all time, you know, of that. I mean, all of them are, like, I love all of them equal in a sense. I mean, I do love all of them, but I feel like John really, you know, there was just something about John that I just felt like his music was always something I could identify with. That was the same with my father. My father felt the same way about him, in that sense too. He just felt like his music was something that he could always identify with too. And it's sweet that you can have music that you can have an artist or something that you can feel that relates to you. And I think it's sweet that, like, you know, my family, like me and my father, have that connection. You know, like, even when I talk to him, you know, when I'm older, I realize that he and I are more similar than I ever thought as a kid. You know, the way he was talking was bringing out the emotions that I felt that I never really could talk about with anybody else, because not like a lot of my friends were huge Beatles fans at the time, really, and all that stuff. And still, you know, I can't go into depth with that many people about these conversations and stuff about conversations about the group and all that stuff, and, you know, specific, you know, you know, the nuances of that. So it's cool when, you know, I'm still talking to my father now and realizing that, like, oh yeah, we really are, you know, similar in a sense. And, you know, that's, I think, the power of music. The power of music can help you realize that. And I think it's just, it works so well to me. And, you know, it's a dear place in my heart. Another few songs I want to talk about are the last three songs on the album. When I Get Home, You Can't Do That, and I'll Be Back. So these are, of course, When I Get Home and You Can't Do That are two songs that are pretty much, like, you know, sound the same and all that. But the backing vocals and, you know, like I said, you know, John, Paul, George, they're all in sync with all this stuff. Like Please Please Me, of course, but, you know, really, like, expanding more and just, these songs are just sounding more, you know, interesting to listen to, more interesting lyrics. You know, I love, like, in the line, like in When I Get Home, like When I Get Home Tonight, I'm gonna love her until the cows come home. I love You Can't Do That, because, and especially, I've always loved the line, I always found it funny as a kid, like, everybody's green, because I'm the one that wants your love, and I was like, why is everybody green, what the heck, and I remember, like, finding that so funny, that line, and that was, like, the line that, like, stuck out to me, just, that was, like, one of the lines that stuck out, because it was just, like, when you hear that, it just sounds like such an unusual sense, everybody's green, you know, like, it's just, like, it's just so great to me, honestly, that, like, you know, that was the title of the, you know, that was, like, the, in the song, like, it's just, it's so fun, and, like, the, oh my god, the guitar solo that John does is just so incredible, because, you know, George was the lead guitarist, but, like, in that one, he just, you know, he wails it. John was the one who did that, and that was just great, you know, honestly. Just, it works, you know, like, yeah, because it's funny, because I thought it was George who did that, but when George and Paul are doing the backing vocals, John's the one that's doing that, and it just shows that John was a good musician. He didn't have to just be a rhythm guitar player. You know, he also, like I said, these guys were talented musicians. You know, and all that stuff, you know, they had their role and all that stuff, but they could go into other stuff. I mean, John played bass on some stuff, George played bass at one point, so, you know, yeah, and How We'll End It is talking about my favorite, song of theirs on the album, which is I'll Be Back. This is a song that I think is so underrated, and I think is something that's, is another song that's very overlooked in the Beatles catalog, but I think it's one of their greatest songs, honestly. The emotion of it, the way John and Paul's harmonies are on that, the way they sing this song together, John, you know, even having a little bit of a solo in it. You know, his voice is so, like, that was another song I always found, like, so sad the way they're singing it. But, like, and I even, like, you know, when I listen to it now, I still, at times, will get that sad emotion. But, like, it's honestly, I don't know, like, what am I being sad at, like, the lyrics in the song, or just, like, I find that just, it's so soothing that just, or it just brings back nostalgia of listening to that as a child, like, it just, it's so, I think, a beautiful thing, and, like, you know, like I said, like, John Paul's harmonies on that sounding like, even, like, going back to the 50s roots of, like, the Everly Brothers, but when John, like, just sings his parts, I think it's just, like, it shows you, yeah, this is John's album. John was the guy who, you know, wanted to be a rock and roller ever since he was a teenager. He's finally, you know, getting his dream, and this album, I think, is his, you know, masterpiece, you know, in that sense. You know, this is, you know, he has reached it. He's made the top. Nothing, it's like at this point, nothing's bigger than this. He's there. On the level of Elvis. He's even bigger than Elvis. You know, they were, at this point, they were already the biggest thing. And, you know, they were, you know, it showed it was in time for a new, you know, generation, a new, you know, like, a new type of fan base, a new type of music act was gonna dominate the airwaves instead of 50s artists. And it just shows that with this album. That's it for today's podcast. I thank you guys for watching and/or viewing or listening. Remember, my organization, Digital Music Association, I am director of correspondence for that. We meet on Tuesdays if you are at SUNY Oswego at 5 p.m. All right. Thank you and see you guys later.